Up next on Grace Life Radio is Word for America.
God has his elect out there into the world. Now, we don't know who those elect are, which means we have to go into all of the world to find them.
Where we discuss today's theological topics.
Bow tie, see my bow tie, tie my bow tie.
Here, let me interpret.
Faster, faster, faster.
Do you know what I just said?
Yeah, I believe what Dr. Luke said is welcome to Word for America.
And you are good.
I got a gift.
With host, Dr. Luke.
Most people say, well, we don't want no stinking doctrine. We just want Jesus.
Pastor Brandon.
Yeah, they use the Arminian highliner, just the old Sharpie.
And our resident Barnabas, Matt Graham.
What you talking about, Free Willis?
Doctrinal issues.
The Word of God is clear that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, meaning that if anyone is ever going to be saved, it is going to be through the preaching of the gospel.
Yeah, we discuss those. Exposing false teaching.
Well, Joel, it says you're a sinner.
Yeah.
And that's something, that's a word that you refuse to use.
Check. Keeping Dr. Luke on topic.
And you, everyone in this room, has potential.
All right, let's rein Dr. Luke back in.
We're working on it. So get ready for the fastest 28 minutes in radio. Take it away, Dr. Luke.
I am Dr. Luke. You are listening to the Word for America program on 90.1 FM WPGT, where we preach grace and truth. And we have with us a guest that we've had with us in the past, and it is Miss Sarah Wallace. She is the gospel-centered mom, and many of you were listening before. We did a review on her book previously, and she has a new book coming out called For the Love of Discipline, When the Gospel Meets Tantrums and Time Outs. Sarah, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
And as we had before, we have my beautiful wife, Jade, on the other side of the microphone. And my job to this time, as you all had requested previously, is for me to shut up and let them talk. So, I was able to read the book, and Jade was able to read the book. Sarah gave us they're not edited copies. Were those the final edits that we read?
Yep.
Okay, good.
They were. It just wasn't in print yet.
Gotcha. So, okay, yeah, so good. So was very thankful for her to send that to us so we could read and talk about this book. But it's called again, For the Love of Discipline, When the Gospel Meets Tantrums and Timeouts. So it's a here in the now of how to deal with your kids when they're throwing tantrums and time, and you put them in timeout and whatever it is you do, you're a realist when it comes to this, and I really like that, and you give us really good examples, and of course you draw from your own life and your kids and your boys. And first tell us, before we get started, tell us a little bit about you, the gospel-centered mom, where you live, where you know, how many kids you got. Give us a little bit of your personal background.
My husband Dave and I live in Idaho. We have 5 boys, ages 1, 4, 5, 7, and 8, and we are homeschooling. So that's been kind of a new adventure the last just couple years here. Really been enjoying that. We help out in our church. We help start a church plant up here in North Idaho. So that's been a huge blessing and adventure and just a really fun whole family adventure. We are busy with our church activities, and it's just great to be a part of that with our children and such a blessing. I started the Gospel Centered Mom blog a couple years ago just as a way for me to keep track of what God's been teaching me, how the gospel applies to motherhood, and also just therapeutically to get my thoughts out. And I wanted to share it just with my close friends and family to help encourage other moms who I thought, you know, I wonder if anybody else feels like this, if they just feel like, man, motherhood is so wonderful, but it is so hard, and I really need to know how my faith affects motherhood if I'm going to survive this. And I realized that a lot of other moms felt exactly the same way I did. So the blog just grew from there, and I was able to put it all together into the Gospel-Centered Mom Bible Study, which also grew slowly and started spreading as other moms were coming alongside me and saying, hey, you're not alone. And the things you're saying are exactly the same things we're thinking and feeling. And that was so encouraging to me to know that there were other moms out there going through the same things and that we were all looking to the same hope and the same grace of the gospel together. So it's been a real fun adventure for me to connect with other moms through the gospel. And then as my kids started growing, getting a little older, and we started treading into discipline territory, and that became all-consuming to me, I just wanted to carry over that same message of how does the gospel apply to this? And I love being able to see the connection between theology and my day-to-day life. I think that's so important, but it's so easy to miss it because we just start drowning in the day-to-day of motherhood. And I personally needed to just take that step back and say, okay, what does the gospel say about this, and how is it going to help me in this specific discipline situation? So that's how For the Love of Discipline was born, and started working on it. Actually, it's been in the works for a couple years, and was thrilled to have P&R Publishing pick it up, and really excited to see what happens with it.
Very good, and we're excited too. It's a great book, and it is For the Love of Discipline, and sounds like you are definitely qualified to write such a book.
Yes.
Mommy of four boys.
Well, I'm in the midst of it.
Five boys. That's five boys. Yeah, you're in the midst of it. Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, yes. So let's just kind of walk through the book a little bit. You lay out, you have a good layout for the book, and it's real for those of you who are listening who are going to pick the book up, and I encourage you to do so. She makes real application, and she takes theology and she puts shoelaces to it. There's something with it. There's real application, and that's what's really good. Theology is more than just head knowledge. What are you going to do with this? And you do a good job with putting that on paper and with what we do about discipline. Okay, here's the issue. What do you do about it? And
right.
you start out the book with a game plan. What's the game plan? And here's a quote from Sarah from the book. She says, your testimony to your kids doesn't revolve around how many items you check off your to-do list. It's about your attitude through the good, the bad, and the sticky spots on the floor. That was at the very beginning of the book, and it kind of stuck out. I'm like, there's more than just a to-do list. Tell us a little bit more about that, because I know that's where a lot of moms will start. That's where a lot of dads will start. Okay, what's my to-do list? And if I check these things off, that's not really a good starting place for the game plan with discipline. What's a good starting place?
Right. For me, the better starting place is to take that big step back. And instead of asking myself, okay, what am I going to do when my kid lies? What am I going to do when my kid hits his brother? And jumping straight to the nitty-gritty, I constantly have to take that step back and say, what is the ultimate end goal? Where is my strength coming from? And what do I ultimately want to teach my children in every discipline situation? And for me, it helps put it in perspective. So, for example, the first thing that I remember, the first big picture thing that I remember is that my discipline is ultimately in God's hands. He has commanded me to discipline my kids, and so I need to be faithful to do that. The end result is not up to me. And I think that's what I get hung up on is it's not working, and it just builds frustration, and then I'm inconsistent because I'm constantly trying something new. So first to take that step back and say, I'm going to be faithful, but the results are in God's hands, and I don't have to get hung up on whether it's working or not. He gets to do with my discipline whatever he wants to. And for me, that really gives me a lot of peace and comfort. And the other thing is to step back and ask, what do I ultimately want to teach to my child's heart? So instead of just focusing, for me, hyper-focusing on that action of maybe, you know, lying, take a step back and say, what does this say about my son's heart, and how can I point him to the gospel in disciplining him, rather than just trying to make him stop doing whatever it is that I want him to stop doing because it's annoying me or it's embarrassing or frustrating or whatever it is, to address his heart and be able to show him gradually how he is a sinner and how we are all sinners, and I'm a sinner too, and how the only hope for all of us is to look to Jesus for forgiveness and salvation. And that also takes out that element of frustration for me when it comes to discipline, because it's that big picture spiritual side that we're ultimately looking at. And again, that's in God's hands. And that brings me a lot of comfort and really helps my attitude when I approach discipline.
Yeah, discipline, it's not a quick fix, is it?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're in it for the long haul. And that helps me too when I remember that this is a daily thing. And maybe the way I disciplined my son right now, maybe it doesn't seem to have worked, but I'm going to get up tomorrow and do it all over again anyway. So it's just one brick at a time in the foundation of that gospel understanding that we're building for our kids. So it's okay if we don't see immediate results. I have to remind myself of that all the time, but it definitely helps my attitude.
Yeah, yeah, we're simply bricklayers, and you make a point of that. We need to lovingly, intentionally discipline our kids, and it all needs to be ultimately for God's glory. And you made in early on, you know, the gospel is for all of us. It's not just for our kids, and discipline is not just for our kids. You know, I was thinking about that too, and I think about it every day. If my kids modeled me, if they modeled my behavior, then I would have three little beauties and a little fella stomping around the house, short tempered, discontent, self centered most of the time. You know, that would be a disaster. The beauty of the gospel that's made for me too, and we have to remember that. We have to focus on that, focus on their heart, focus on the gospel itself. And in doing so, in disciplining our kids, we are kind of, if we're doing it God's way, we're disciplining ourselves at the same time.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
So, and the goal of it, the goal of discipline, as you say, whether it feels pleasant or not, it's to conform us and our kids to the image of Christ.
Right.
That's the goal. That's the ultimate goal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about, it's nothing other than that. It's soli Deo Gloria. It's all to the glory of God.
It's not about seeking the approval of the group of mommies that you happen to be around most often or at the moment. And I think that's what I loved about that beginning part about the game plan, because it was a reminder to me, although, like you said before, you know, we've heard these things over and over again, Sarah, but it's so easy in the moment to lose sight. Even on, like, from a day to day basis, one day I feel like I've got, you know, the focus, I'm in tune with the fact that this is a long-term process and it's all good. And the next morning I wake up, and like you said, not only do I have a checklist of things that I want to get done during the day, but I also have a checklist, it seems like, sometimes for each of my children. Like, oh, you know, Maddie says no all the time. How am I going to deal with no? You know, this one doesn't want to, you know, oblige me when I request, you know, that things get done around the house. And it starts to become this laundry list of problems with them that I'm trying to fix with discipline, as opposed to, like you said, realizing that this is a heart issue and each of my children are individuals and they're individual sinners, just like we're all individual sinners and we sin, you know, but it all goes back to, no matter what type of sin we have an issue with, we have to come at it from the gospel. And it, that really gave me some perspective, because there are times, especially, you know, when you're surrounded by other moms and there's so many things that, you know, so many things you want to fit in to certain little molds, you know, you definitely want your kids to be well behaved. And so, like you said, it goes from just a behavioral fix to a heart issue, you know, delving a little deeper and being in it for the long haul as opposed to the quick fix, like Sean said.
Right. Yeah. And I think there's a really tricky balance there, because like you said, if we wake up with our to-do list for our kids' attitudes and we're hyper-focused on their attitudes and how they come across, like I often do, then we run the risk of going overboard, disciplining too much. But then there's the other extreme where, you know, especially this might be a temptation for moms with really laid-back personalities, which is great, but to say, hey, God's got it in his hands and he's in control and, you know, we'll deal with it if it's anything really bad. But you know, there's that extreme also where you're actually, without knowing it, maybe not picking up those tools of discipline that God has entrusted to us. And so it's a tricky balance to strike. But for me, I always ask myself, am I being purposeful? And that helps me strike the balance right. between too much and too little, because if I'm purposeful, I am going to be watching for ways I can discipline my kids, but I'm also going to keep that end goal in mind of pointing them to Christ and keeping my own eyes on Christ, because that is the purpose behind it. So I feel like as long as we're being purposeful, we're going to be able to strike that balance a little bit better. But it's tricky.
Absolutely.
It's hard.
And Jade brought up something, you know, with our four-year-old. We have a beautiful little four-year-old that she just loves to say no. And I know this is later in the book, and I remember reading this, but that is a forbidden word in your house. And why is that?
That's a word that packs a punch.
Yes.
For us, we start discipline very, very young, because discipline means to teach. So even a young toddler can start to learn. And as soon as they start showing their sin nature, that's when they start needing to learn, and that's when they need discipline. And that is one of the first things for our kids that pops out of their mouth is no.
Right.
And so the first thing that we teach them when they're very, very young is that they are not in charge. And it's a very simple, very straightforward, black and white mm-hmm. thing that very young children can start to grasp. So really that word no, that's for them very practically, that's where the rubber meets the road, where we say, you do not get to tell mommy and daddy no. We can tell you no, but you don't tell mommy and daddy no. And I do think that that's a foundational part of discipline. It's helping our kids understand that they're under authority, and ultimately mm-hmm. we are under authority as well. And so that's what we want to teach them, is we are all under the authority of our Creator. And in a tangible, practical, in-your-face way, they are under mom and dad's authority. And they can't see or touch God, but they can see and touch us. We're right here. And so we have to imitate that authority for them. So we start that pretty young, that no is a really powerful word, and that it's for mom and dad to show, to exercise our loving care and authority over them, to keep them safe and to help them learn and grow and thrive. And teaching them that that's not a word for them to use to us shows them that they are under that loving authority. So that's one practical way that we help them with that.
Very good. And you also bring up a very good point, that there is a major difference between disciplining and punishment. Discipline has a completely different motivation, and that is love, whereas punishment looks to what? Looks to the law.
Looks to the law, right.
Explain to us what you mean by that.
Well, I think that we're all naturally legalistic. In some way or another, some more than others, but we're all born in our hearts with that sense of right and wrong and justice, because we are made in the image of God. But I think that we have the tendency to focus, hyper-focus on the law and our actions. And so I wanted to make that distinction in a book on discipline between punishment and discipline, because with all good intentions and maybe good motives, we as parents could tend towards the punishment, which is more focused on the law and pointing our kids to the law and just their action, which the law is a means to an end. So biblically speaking, we are supposed to use the law to point our kids to Christ, but we don't stop at the law and at our actions. We use it as a springboard to point them to the only one who can fulfill the law in our place. So when we're talking about discipline, we're talking about a relationship and not a courtroom. That's kind of the difference. And so sometimes we want things to be black and white, because that's easiest for us.
Right.
But when we force our discipline to be too black and white, then we kind of make ourselves just that judge that's just doling out justice all day long and consequences, and not taking time to shepherd hearts. So that's another kind of tricky line, but I think it's just a whole mindset that we have to change for ourselves and make sure that we are shepherding and disciplining and not just punishing. So kind of a tricky difference, but for me, it helps put it in perspective a little more.
Yeah, and punishment is easier than discipline.
It is, because you take out the heart.
Right,
relational aspect.
You can dole out punishment, yeah. But discipline requires patience, wisdom, love. It's a little lot harder, but that is the love of discipline that we are as Christians supposed to be passing on to our children in that way. Mm-hmm. So what about rewards in the gospel? You have a whole chapter on rewards in the gospel. You know, God versus self. Does the reward that we dole out focus on God or self? Explain to us a little bit about rewards when it comes to discipline.
Yeah, this was a tricky one for me. I think as parents, you know, we want something really practical and really tangible when it comes to discipline. And so one of the first things that we go to, and I know for me, is maybe a rewards chart where you obey mommy, you know, 10 times in a row, you get stickers on the chart, and then you get a prize. And again, that's not a bad thing, but it's a balance that as a gospel-centered parent, we have to be intentional about striking. So it goes back to the difference between punishment and discipline. We can use rewards for our children because the Bible talks about the rewards of obedience and the blessings of obedience. But ultimately, we want to point our kids to the spiritual blessings of obedience and that relational part, and not just, well, if I do this, then I get the cookie. If I don't do it, I don't get the cookie. So do I really want the cookie? You know, and it's not about the cookie. It's not ultimately about the sticker chart and the prize. It's ultimately about our love and fear and respect for God. And so it's just something we have to be careful about. But in the chapter, I wrote that the distinction is, does the reward point our kids to God or back to themselves? And again, we can use rewards as a springboard to point our kids back to God, but we just have to make that intentional next step and not let the reward stop at our kids and say, oh, you're so good. You did such a good job, so you deserve this. But to say, you obeyed. I'm so thankful that I can see Jesus working in your heart. And this is the wonderful blessing that you get for obeying mom and dad, because God is so good to us, and really keep the focus on the gospel and on God. And so that's the difference there.
Sarah, I have to admit to you that when I saw the title of this chapter, I got a little scared, and I got a little scared for you. I'm like, oh, Sarah, you're this is the word reward. This is brave that you're going to go there. But I was also excited to read it because, and I know that you understand this because, you know, that it really was a brave topic to tackle, but I'm so grateful you did. And I would encourage any mom out there who has kind of like, you know, completely done away with the idea of reward because of, you know, the whole, like, I just don't want to teeter on the verge of, you know, going too far with it one direction and, you know, taking them completely, their focus completely off Christ. But I encourage you to read this book, read this chapter, because it was so encouraging to me because, again, Sarah has a way in her writing of, like, she's in it with you. And so, you know, I'm talking about you, Sarah, but I'm talking this. I just think this is important because this chapter, you really did do a great job for me of helping me see that. I over the last couple of years, I've kind of been coming around to this whole balance thing anyway. Like, there's really just got to be balance. There has to be. But you really did a great job with striking the balance and helping me, like, reminding me, like, there's a reason why it feels okay to reward my children. But, like, I've veered away from it, honestly, because I'm like, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to be the mom that teeters on the verge of, you know, directing them away from Christ and only, you know, only having them do the action for the reward. But you did a really great job. So I commend you for tackling this topic. And I'm so glad you did, like I said, because I feel like as moms, there is something inside of us that, you know, we do want to reward our children, but we want to do it in a way, like you said, that it that points them to Christ every time, and you know, the blessing. Mm-hmm. And so this chapter is really great. So any mom that is like, hey, I'm living this, and I just, you know, I want to give my kids rewards, or, you know, I just want to know how to do this like in a balanced way, this whole discipline thing, because I just want to love my kids too. This book is so for you, because, you know, it's just, you've done a great job, Sarah.
Oh, great. Thank you.
And that brings us to the point too, where, okay, discipline, what does it look like? How can I take this? What do I do? And there's you've got sections. You get a part one, part two, and you section it off, and then you talk about a daily structure and why routine is essential. And I quote Sarah on this. She says, there is a foundational tool that makes discipline predictable and productive: structure, not rigid rules and schedules, but merely having a plan. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that goes back to what I was saying earlier about just being purposeful. And I wanted to encourage moms about structure. And I was a little bit hesitant because, again, there are moms out there who structure comes very naturally to them. That's the way they function. And moms who are so laid back and run from the word. And so I wanted to show that this really, it applies to everyone from all different kinds of personalities. Mm-hmm. And it's not boxing you in mm-hmm. to a specific structure for your day and more checklists, but it's just a practical tool to help every mom with any personality type to be purposeful with discipline. So what I wound up doing when my kids were very little, I just felt like my schedule was all over the place, and it made discipline very difficult because I was so scatterbrained and I didn't really know from one moment to the next when my kids should be eating and sleeping and playing and all the different activities that we had going on, because we had kids so close together so quickly. And so I wound up writing down for about a week everything we did during the day, looking at the clock, making notes. And then I compared my notes, and I actually saw a structure kind of emerge that I didn't even realize was there. And I realized, okay, this is the time of day when I usually do this with the kids, or feed them their snack, or put them down for rest time. And so then I just took that existing structure and I made it a little bit more firm. And then it really helped me to relax and take a step back and think about, okay, where can I implement shepherding and teachable moments and discipline into our daily structure? So an example I give in the book is dinner time. When we're all sitting down at the dinner table together around the same time every night, that's when I need to implement consistent expectations of behavior every night where it doesn't change. Dinner table expectations are always the same, and that helps me to have those teachable moments. What does it mean to be a gentleman at the table? What does it mean to have self-control? What does it mean to be thoughtful of others? And so we plug those in every single dinner time, talk about the same things and practice. But if we were just running all over the place and the kids were bouncing off the walls, they never knew when or where they were going to have their dinner, it would be so much harder for me to implement those teachable moments. So that was the point of the chapter, was every mom's schedule is going to look so different because some moms work outside of the home and some moms, stay home with the kids. Mm. There's so many variables, and so there's no right or wrong answer. But the point is, how can you implement teachable moments into your schedule, and how can you find consistency throughout your day so that your day is purposeful and so that your kids have a firm schedule to fall back on so that you can find those teachable moments? So that was the point, and I'm hoping that moms will be able to take that idea and implement it in 1,000 different ways.
Right. And I like how you wrote that too, because this is for every. This isn't just for the homeschool mom. You even give ideas for those moms who work outside of the home, and they come home in the evenings, and it's for everybody. So this isn't you don't have tunnel vision when it comes to that. And
right.
Some people kind of think that certain writers are that way, and you definitely divulge into that area too, because everything boils down eventually to doing the right thing the way God tells us to do. focusing on, right. on the gospel with our kids. And we're running out of time here, but again, we're talking with Sarah Wallace, the author of The Gospel-Centered Mom, new book coming out called For the Love of Discipline, When the Gospel Meets Tantrums and Timeouts. I highly recommend this to all of our listeners. It's real, Sarah. That's what I like about you, Sarah. You're real. And that's what my wife has always said. She's real. I mean, I read this stuff and it's like, this is real stuff. This isn't a quick fix. You know, don't waste your money on these quick fix books about discipline and what have you. So that's real. So For the Love of Discipline coming out, PNR Publishing, how are the listeners of the Word for America program going to get their hands on your book?
There are a number of places where it is listed. You can find it on the PNR website, which is prpbooks.com. It's also on Amazon. Over the next just couple days here, if you wanted to pre-order, I think Amazon is the best way to place a pre-order. And it's also on christianbookdistributors.com. And so those are the places I would recommend. My blog is gospelcenteredmom.com. So that's where listeners can find current information about upcoming projects and articles based on the book and reviews. So I would recommend checking that out. And then the Facebook page is The Gospel Centered Mom / Sarah Wallace. And that's where I post daily updates, snippets from my life. So it's very obvious that I'm definitely in the trenches myself, disciplining my own kids, and videos. And so that would be fun to follow too.
Yeah, you share some really good stuff there as well from some other good mommy bloggers out there. So I would recommend following her there. So yeah, Amazon. So Amazon's a big place. Everybody gets their stuff from Amazon. So that's great that you're there. Pre-order For the Love of Discipline, When the Gospel Meets Tantrums and Timeouts by Sarah Wallace. And it's great. It's very gospel-centered. All of your writing always is. It's good. It takes theology and it makes real application for people, and that's what's great, and that's what we always hear at Word for America teach and preach. You know, theology is great, it's wonderful, but I even think you mentioned this. How is this going to help me with my screaming 2 year old? how do I make this real? And you're always focused on that, and it's good because you're in the trenches. That's what you're doing every day. So it's good that you can. It qualifies you to write about such, and it's great. And your theology is not bad, so that's good too. That's helpful. So again, Sarah Wallace, For the Love of Discipline, pre-order at Amazon, PNR Publishing as well. As always, Sarah, we're so thankful that you come on, and we're very glad to promote the book for you.
Make a great Mother's Day gift.
Well, thank you so much.
Yes, there you go. See, my wife, you make a great Mother's Day gift as well. So as always, for our listeners at Word for America, we would ask that you be like those noble Bereans in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, to always search the scriptures daily to know that what you're hearing and seeing is of the Lord. Go and pre-order your book, For the Love of Discipline, by Sarah Wallace, today.